life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame: dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to the Kyber episode of the Dynamite in the Brain anime podcast. I am Brian Smith, and as ever, over there is my co-host, Anthony Askew.
Hello, everyone.
And we are joined once again by the creator of Sublo. I can't talk. Sublo, not Sublo. Sublo and Tangy Mustard. It's Aaron Long.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron. I managed to get that bit out right anyway.
Good intro, that.
Sure, I'll let you start.
One for the
record.
Oh, no, it was great.
Okie dokie, and we're going to be talking about Kaiba, the 2008 anime directed by Masaki Yuasa, as I believe we promised at the end of our Kimono Zume episode. And let's talk synopsis. This is from Anime News Network. One day, a man, Kaiba, wakes up in a broken room. He has no memories, only a pendant with a picture of an unknown woman. Outside of the room are grotesque, floating electrical clouds of disjointed memories. Kaiba is suddenly assaulted and escapes into space. He travels to various planets, encountering various people. Someone liked various right in this description. And retrieving his various memories. I added that one myself. Memories of an inconsistent and decaying world, of his own agony and of Niero, the woman in the picture. As directed by Masaki Yuasa, written by Masaki Yuasa, character design by Nobutaki Ito, who also did Kimono Zume, and Ping Pong, and Tatami Galaxy, the other Yuasa projects he's worked on. And Giovanni's Island was the other thing me and Anthony recently saw.
Yeah,
I saw that too.
You've seen that too?
Yeah,
I re-saw the end scene in a music video the other day, and it still brought a lump to the throat.
Aww.
The dancing scene.
Yeah, it's good.
And our cast is playing Kaiba, who is also known as Warp, is Haruko Kuwashima, and she also played Scarlet in Space Dandy, and loads of other roles, but that was the thing I think we'd know her from most. I'm not sure how the character, Niero,
I was never sure either, yeah.
No, because I was waiting for my DVD to arrive, so I started watching it on old fan subs, and then the DVD arrived, and then all of a sudden it was spelled differently on the...
How's it spelled on the DVD?
I think it's N-E-Y-R-O.
Nairo.
Nairo? Yeah.
Maybe.
I could be wrong. I know there's another thing which is much better translated, which we'll bring up later. And she's played by Mamiko Noto, who played Nina in Monster.
No spoilers, please. Just in case you said, that's the one who does that.
No. Phew. There's Popo, played by Romy Park, probably best known as Edward Elric in Fullmetal Alchemist. Then we've got Vanilla, who is played by Hiseo Igawa, who has loads of roles, but they kind of tend to be bit parts. The biggest role I could see of his was Killer Bee from Naruto. The rapping ninja.
Yeah.
He's pretty good as a character. And finally, Hio Hio, played by Wasabi Mizuta, who is the voice of Doraemon from 2005 onwards. And I was wondering, as that character has sort of transports itself by rotor blades, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, had they designed the character and then it's like, we must get the one who voices Doraemon because Doraemon also flies using helicopter blades.
It makes sense.
She does a good job in a role which involves no actual talking at all.
Oh yeah, Hyo-Hyo steals the show.
Yeah, pretty much. So, let's get into our history with it. Aaron, is this the first time watching it or had you watched it before?
I'd watched it before. I think after Mind Game, this was the first Masaki Yuasa TV series that I saw. I watched it in maybe 2011 or so. And then I watched it again a few months ago with my girlfriend because she'd never seen it. And then I watched it a little bit again, you know, in the last couple of days for this.
Anthony, how about you?
I watched it for the first time leading up to this show.
Okay. I think I watched it around the time it was coming out, and then probably a long time after, because it was one of those shows when it was getting fan-subbed. I think it took a while to get completed. And I hadn't watched it since then. And then, obviously, for this show, I went out and bought the Siren Visual DVD release from Australia. Which is pretty good.
I've been meaning to get that.
Does it look good?
Oh, yeah, it looks great, even as a DVD. It looked great, blown up on my TV.
Mm.
No problem, it's 6 episodes per disc, so it's not too bad. And there's, like, no extras taken out of that room, so it's pretty much all that memory dedicated to reproducing the show.
Very, very clever. Do you get any little trinkets with it in the box set or anything?
No,
or?
It's just one of those cardboard sleeves like the Siren ones tend to have. But otherwise,
no little memory cone or anything?
Yeah, it's always one.
I don't go in for those sort of releases. I was caught early 2000s buying that sort of stuff. You just end up with a box with a single DVD that you never filled the rest of the DVDs with. So my memory of watching it the first time was I think I was a little disappointed at the time compared to Mind Game and Kimono Zume, which I'd seen before that. Coming back to it now, I think I might like it more than Kimono Zume. We have to go redo our top 100 again, Anthony.
Oh, gosh.
More than Kimono Zume. Bold words.
I know.
Them's fighting words.
How about you guys? Anthony, as this is the first time you've seen it, what did you think of it?
Oh, gosh. This time... There's times when you're watching this and there's points, I know it's intended, but you really get thrown in at the deep end. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like my own memory had been wiped of any kind of logic and understanding of any storytelling I've ever been used to before, but once it gets going, it gets going well. But there's still times, and I've still got questions where I think, What was going on there? How did they transfer that memory to that body? Was that body there all along? Was that or was it not? It's for a first time watch. It's tough.
Yeah, I think that was my problem.
I think it requires.
I think that was why I didn't like it so much the first time watching it.
That was sort of my problem with it this time, and every time I guess. By the end of the series, I just am mostly just confused.
The bits that make sense. Make really good sense and it works really well, but I've got so many questions that we'll get to, I'm sure, but on the whole, I don't know whether I like it as much as Kimono Zume, but I prefer Ping Pong to everything that I've seen of his, to be honest, so it's but no, I did like it a lot. The music's great. I think the music stands
so
out
good. I've been looking for the soundtrack forever. I don't think it really exists.
I hope it doesn't, because it's really sad.
I think people were saying the Japanese release had a CD with the first volume.
Okay.
So I think that might have been the only soundtrack release it got. Because it was another Wow show, I believe. So obviously people had paid for it already getting the satellite channel. I'm not sure how much interest there was in people but paying for it again to buy it on home video.
Yeah, I see. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, the music is one of the many standout elements of the series. I mean, visually it's so good, and the writing is really inventive, and the sound design is brilliant, and the music. There's so many good things about it.
Mm-hmm. It knows when to come in.
Yeah. That's
sad. Whoever decided, right, start the tune now. They deserve a medal.
And it's an unrelenting... I forgot how much of an unrelenting bummer it is. Gate.
That was maybe another thing I wasn't a huge fan of as compared to his other stuff.
Yeah, it takes a while. It kind of runs through, I'd say, probably the first half of the series. Feels very Galaxy Express.
Yeah.
999 or 999, however you're supposed to say it.
But I always just say 999.
But perhaps even less full of hope.
Yeah, it's pretty unrelentingly bleak.
And yeah, he just really does not care about any side characters we meet.
Everybody's story ends in tragedy and somebody's death.
It begins in tragedy. It doesn't even end. Yeah. It's constant tragedy.
It does feel a lot like Galaxy Express 999, but only for the first half, which is kind of odd.
Yeah. I think that bit, is it episode 6, where we find out what happened to Nairo?
I forget.
I think it might... Oh, episode 7 stands as a... Oh, that's the one with the other body. It's like a huge man's body.
Yeah, I was going.
That's 6, right?
Yeah. 6 is the one where they go to like the theme park of memories.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's the elderly couple there.
Yeah. And we first get a clue of the actual Kyber.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so... But you generally liked it, even though you might not put it as high as...
Oh, I mean, to say it's not as high as Ping Pong and possibly... I'm undecided on Kimon Azumi yet to compare the two, but I really enjoyed it. I can't pinpoint the bits I don't like. I can't really pinpoint why I don't like it. I think it's my own kind of misunderstanding of what it's meant to mean and why it happens, to be honest. So it's unfair to critique it for that, I think. Because it's confusing. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I love all of Masaki Yuasa's stuff. But I think it's because so many parts of it are still unclear to me on a third watch through. and because when I watched it with my girlfriend, she found the same things confusing. I'm starting to think maybe it's not just me not paying close enough attention. Maybe it is just very hard to see what's happening sometimes.
Okay, so... Spoiler-free bit over. Let's get into the confusing bits. Right. Any questions? Because I'm not sure I'll be able to answer them, but I've got a bet.
Oh, no, you've got to answer, if you have to lie.
There were some things I latched onto this time, which helped me, particularly towards the end. Particularly the end of that episode 6, and that kind of made me go, oh, okay, yeah, that I'm latching on to what the deal is here.
Okay, I've got a question. Can I come out the gate with a question? Why does Popo help Kyber or Warp at the start? Why does he help him get onto that ship? When he could have maybe not killed him.
Because he can't kill him. He knows he's immortal.
He can't, but why help him?
Just to get him away, I guess.
Yeah, just to get him away. Because he's altered
Nero's
memories, so he doesn't want him around. Because he's overwritten her memories with his face. So her memories of Warp, Kyber.
As that
he's got in
shadow.
He's, and this is the other problem writing these notes, is cast lists just peter out. Even on the Japanese wiki, there's a few more named characters on there. But even then I was like, I still can't remember the name of the memory altering guy.
Oh,
wait,
which...
The guy in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name.
Yeah. But he's been hired by Popo. We find out he's a childhood friend of his to alter her memories. So she has got no memory of being in love with Kyber / Warp.
I get that aspect, but Popo's entire story and kind of reasoning is to kill him or is to get him off the scene so he can become king.
But... I don't think he necessarily knows at that point that.
But he shoots at him, doesn't he? He shoots at him and he destroys the. Like, cause he's lying on a bed or whatever it is, and obviously the gun destroys the bed around him, but it doesn't hurt him. I don't know. I get what you're saying, where I'm kind of unsure
but
whether it is.
But he's definitely
in his
interest for it not to be there, and if he can't kill him, then he's got to get rid of him some other way.
Yeah, I think it is just to get him out of the way, basically.
And also it leads to him getting his... Because he's basically selling his body to that woman who wants to have sex with it.
Oh, Parm, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So it also then removes his immortal body from... He's then basically tricked him into that hippopotamus
being an immortal body at that point, potentially. Okay. Mm. Okay.
But obviously Popo's motivations are obviously... As we find out later, there's a room for them not to make sense, is because we discover that another character or characters have been constantly rewriting his memories as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh.
But I don't think the show's so much concerned about that memory sort of thing. I think it talks more about particularly in that episode 6, whether your, how connected is your personality to your physical form? Because at that point, Warp's barely been in his body for those first 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And then he re-meets Nero, who's in that body of Gel, isn't it?
The slayer, yeah, I think so.
With bomb hands.
How does... Is that just another memory chip of hers that's elsewhere? Because the reason I say is you don't then see Nero go from Gel, or whatever he's called, back to the original body. At least I don't recall. No. So is there numerous memory chips
like
for her?
Yeah, there's 3.
Yeah.
Possibly 3. But or either that she did, or they did a transfer the same way that Vanilla transferred Warp's mind back to the memory guy.
I was going to ask about in episode 7 when they die.
Yeah.
Is that what actually happens? He transfers. Explain that for me, please.
So he's trying to he's convincing who. Okay, let's go through. We should probably go episode by episode.
Yeah. That's, so that's
people
worth
who are still listening who haven't watched it can make some sort of sense of it. So in the first episode, we're introduced to this amnesiac guy called Kaiba, who's got a hole in his chest. He doesn't know what's going on. He's in this sort of undercity. Apparently above there, there's where the rich people live who can afford to swap their bodies at will. And they're like an underclass. There's like a family who've all got to share the same body because they... And it's not even really a body. It's just like a rotating wheel of faces.
Yeah.
And all we know... is all he knows is that he's got this necklace with a woman's face, a blurry photo of a woman looking angry or surprised. Mm-hmm. It's angry, isn't it? She says later that she doesn't like her photo taken.
Yeah.
And that's all he knows. And he's helped. He's being chased by, what do they call them? Skronks.
Stonks.
Something like that. Stonks. Skronks. These sort of robot hunter things. And he's helped, in inverted commas, by this guy called Popo, who's got a cool haircut.
And don't forget the ostrich.
Oh, and an ostrich,
which
we later discover
is
his
mother. Hal? Is that his name?
I
think it's Hal.
I thought it began with a B.
Baru,
yes.
But depending on where you've watched it and what you've watched it on, I think.
Yes. But it's Baru, yeah. Which turns out to be Warp's mother. And this guy, Kaiba, turns out to be Warp, who is the ruler of that city above them.
He controls all the memories.
And we get a brief glimpse in this episode that he's got some sort of superpower, which allows him to basically destroy things with some sort of telekinesis-type ability. Which he will not display until probably the last episode at that point, in which case it's turned into a different power. And basically there's a guy called Cloak, who's also up to no good, which doesn't get revealed until much later on. And
does he get a different name later on? Because he does return.
Yeah, I think he does, yes.
What's the other name?
I can't remember.
I feel like it's Vengeant?
Something like that. I think it begins with V in the official subs.
Right.
Which would make sense at beginning of B, because sometimes they're switchable.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This is confusing.
Yeah.
I'm already confused as to which character it was.
But
which.
Basically, the entire setup for this is to establish there's this girl who this amnesiac is connected to. There's this guy, Popo, who's seemingly helping him escape. And he's got to get on this train. And on the train, there's the train's sheriff called Vanilla. He was a total jerk, as he's a jerk in this to that guy Cloak.
That's a hilarious moment.
Yeah, that part's great.
The fact that every time Cloak comes back, he's got another sticking plaster on his face.
Yeah. And then there's no more humor like that.
Yeah, I was missing the humor in a lot of the series compared to Yuasa's other stuff. Because that's one of the big things I love about him.
But at the end, once he's introduced to Giant Robot, he can't help himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that part gets pretty silly again.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote that down in my notes.
But then as he's leaving, we discover that the girl in the photo is with Popo and is at this memory thing. And he's telling the guy in this wheelchair, don't make a copy of a memory. But then we see he's got these, like, helicopter weird things on the wall. And at the end, one of them's missing. And that's on board the ship as well.
See, at that point, I didn't know it was her memory for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think I knew. I don't think I did it first time watching.
Yeah, supposed to, yeah. Are you?
Well, I think it's a...
It's kind of obvious thinking back.
Yeah, thinking back, it is obvious, because the dialogue is, don't make a copy, and then the shots sort of point to them, there's one, they're all there, point again, there's one missing.
I guess it's meant to feel obvious once you've concluded everything, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
And then, basically, over the next 7 episodes, we get the journey on this sort of train spacecraft thing as they go to different planets. So we've got a story with about some stowaways, which I can't even remember.
I just remember being very confused, because suddenly he's in that hippo body.
Yes, because basically the woman who's smuggled him on has taken his body, and she's copied her own personality. I do remember it now, I guess, because it's got the orgy scene.
Well, yeah, that's pretty hard to forget.
She's copied her own personality and put it into Kyber's body. And she's going to have sex with herself. And in the meantime, she's put his mind in a stuffed hippopotamus. And it turns out there's a couple of other stowaways. And the joke is that the guy in the couple is apparently this really great catch.
All the girls have a thing for him.
Yes. He's the most low-key guy you can imagine.
His name's Butter, right? He's Butter. Yeah. And I think the other one was Kochu or something?
Yeah, something like that. They both die.
Yeah. It's going to be a recurring story beat for this show.
Then in the third episode, they go to this planet. They meet a sort of... I can't remember what she's selling. There's a girl who's selling...
Boots. Oh, no, no, I am...
No.
It begins with an S.
I can't... The boots are basically her aunt has sold her memories to pay for things for her children.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, it's a sad story.
Yeah. And then her body...
She's selling, like, these weird... Like, they're not quite flowers, but they're not...
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're edible. I don't know.
And, yeah, her body gets stolen by these guys who are going to sell it to a creepy duck man or bird man. I'm not sure what he is. But Vanilla has fallen in love at first sight with Chronico. And it ends up with Chronico dead and now Kyber's swapping between the hippopotamus and Chronico's body. And Vanilla is in love with Chronico.
Which is actually Kyber.
Yeah, Kyber warp.
Yeah.
Then, that's probably a bad translation, I think it's the grandmother's memory room, not the crone's memory room, as Anime News Network had it.
The old hag's memory.
So they're on this planet where it's basically they're operating a lighthouse, aren't they? Two grandsons and their grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And the two grandsons want to find out where the grandfather's treasure is kept. But the main thing is, this entire episode is done by Michiho Mihara. He did the key animation, he did the in-between animation, he did the script, he did the storyboards. It's all him. 9 months of work in that one episode.
Oh, wow.
It's a good
episode.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I double-checked on Annie Page's daily to find out. I figured that was the case, but and then I discovered that in Annie Page's daily, he still hasn't reviewed the last episode of Kyber.
He tends to do that with things. He always forgets to do the last episodes. I think it took him 2 extra years to do the last episode of Kimono Zume.
Yeah, I think you might be right. This is a mega bummer as well.
Oh, it's so sad.
But, it's kind of... Yeah, it's sad rather than... The past two have been kind of, like, kicking you with its bleakness. This only does that after the main story's over. As we find out that the two grandsons have also stayed away and frozen to death.
Oh!
I believe that's what happened, or they burnt to death. Basically,
it's not a good end for them.
They've discovered their bodies, anyway, on the train. So it's not like they've been...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wow.
And had they shown the walking? Yeah, they had shown the walking into memories in the previous episode. So there's,
that contraption.
One recurring tech which Vanilla's got is this gun which freezes people in place, and then basically opens up their memories so you can actually physically climb in to their memories and interact
up,
with
pick
it.
Books up and
apparently sell what's in there.
God, how has he got this tech? Why him?
Well,
I think
people
a few people have it.
Yeah. Because by the end, everyone's shooting them at each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It becomes a custard pie moment.
Yeah, you're right. But we'll get to that. That is a great bit, though. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
What's the next one? The next episode. Oh, this is a weird one.
The Utopian Planet with Patch and Quilt.
Oh.
That was a good one. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, so this is the one where there's this planet where they're constantly bringing out new bodies, and you can swap, get the latest fashions, recycle your old bodies. Everyone gets to eat for free because basically they're eating all their old bodies.
I didn't realise that. Wow.
And this is where he loses the hippo body.
He's kind of sad about it.
Yeah.
How did you... Because there's so many bits where something just happens and then it's kind of, oh, okay. And how did you lose that body? What?
I forget as well. Because the thing you remember, of course, is the patchwork man and his patchwork dog who constantly forget... Or he constantly forgets the thing which happened the day before, takes a look at the world, decides it's disgusting, and decides he'll design a body that no one will want to bring down this... corrupt system, and then an old man in a baby's body markets it successfully the very next day.
This is one of the sillier episodes. It's still sad, but it's got a lot of humor to it.
Yeah,
especially in his voice. He's got a fun voice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this dog basically has to carry this guy back each time and plug him in and reboot him. We'd learned that the dog used to be his assistant.
Oh, and she died of old age.
Yes. Yeah. And so he put a memory chip in this dog and gave the dog his eyes. So he's blind, the dog sees for him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they fix it all, but then the very next episode, we learn they all died anyway. Oh, no, I think it's episode 7. At the start of episode 7, they learn they all died anyway. Yeah, it kind of treats the utopia as a utopia, even though it seems a little grisly, because the baby still wants to save the dog after the dog gets beaten up by thugs, and the baby
says,
"Oh,
that's devastating.
Maybe I shouldn't have left all that gold around his house. It's only going to attract problems."
So bizarre.
And the Japanese wiki says there's a reference in here to Modern Times, the Charlie Chaplin film.
Oh, I did. I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it, so I can't.
I've seen it. I can't remember. I remember them just working constantly. Like the opening scene is them literally, they clock in and then the instant they clock out, they've got to clock back in to that effect. So I guess it's just him working non-stop. But I can't remember anything vividly with the eyes or anything like that, if that's what it's referring to.
Yeah, I wonder whether it's the bit with the repeated scene with the controls.
Possibly.
Oh, yeah. Possibly.
It's a lot more lighthearted in Modern Times, even though it is a dark, kind of a dark representation of like, working and being forced to work and stuff. But
and there is a general silent movie feel to a lot of these early episodes because of Kaiba not being able to talk in the hippo body and then barely talking in when he's in Chronico's body.
He's just a quiet guy, yeah.
What can he say to Vanilla? I'm scared.
He can't really say anything.
And Vanilla kind of comes across a bit like a Bluto type.
Oh, absolutely. His movements.
Like but he's
from an old Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Yeah, he's genuinely in love with her, though. He's not, like, lusting after her, unlike the other character. Because he never, like, tries to make a move on her. He's just protective of her all the time.
Yeah.
It seems like he's very shy as well as being a huge jerk.
Yeah, but beyond this, he is an awful person. He's completely corrupt.
He's terrible.
Episode 6 then takes us to the planet, which is like a theme park for memories. And we meet this old couple. Again, being an old person doesn't work out well in a Masaki Yuasa.
Thing is, I'd rather die from old age, but I'd rather die from old age than some of the awful fates that some of them have.
Would you, yeah, would you rather have your memory sucked out by a plant? Or
it depends how,
turn into a flesh-eating monster for me.
Because their memories live on. In theory. Mm. So I don't know whether they'd be...
You're saying like Popo.
I am, gosh. At least I've got good hair.
He's got a massive quiff. He's got a cool body. His mother sold her own body to buy him a better one.
I guess so.
And basically, a guy who's a cyborg with massive blades coming out his shoulders, and we discover it's a woman in a man's body, and she figures out that Chronico is a man in a woman's body, and so Kaiba has to help this man, Gel, out with the urinals. There is comedy. There is comedy.
Yeah, but I wasn't too sure whether to laugh or kind of think it's a bit... Like the whole existence of them not understanding and whether they'll remain themselves or whether they'll kind of become the person that they're in or the gender or whatever else. Oh, it's confusing. Yeah. It's deep.
And we discover that she's a terrorist who's been sent to blow up this storage of memories. Mm-hmm. And then this plant Kaiba shows up and eats the memories of the old woman.
Scary.
Again, here is a question I need to go back and watch. Where does Kaiba come from?
The plant?
Yes.
You see it grow at the start.
Yeah.
But are you talking about...
They mention which planet it's from, so I assume, is it growing on this planet? This is a thing where I should go back and watch it a third time and keep notes of the planets and...
I don't think this is the same Kyber. Do you think it's the same Kyber as the one that turns up at the end?
Yes, it is.
Well, see, because we can assume that the Kyber's been around previously at a prior point.
That is assuming, of course, the entire series is actually happening outside of Warp's memories.
Don't dare, Brian.
Don't open that can of worms.
There's a few lines at the end, and there's a few images at the end which suggest that maybe it is just taking part in his memories.
So this has all occurred before... Or this moment in time... I don't know. I thought it was going to be a nice, light-hearted podcast. Instead...
Then, basically, Vanilla and Chronico / Warp / Kaiba have been implicated in this terrorist act and also apparently blowing up the Utopian planet's factories as well. And they're wanted, so they send these puppies. There's like weird yellow smiley guys.
Oh, those are creepy.
Who look like they've strayed out of Yellow Submarine.
Yeah. I don't think they do get a name as far as I can remember.
But he knows who he is.
Yeah, they seem to be in the police. They are in, like, a police department because Vanilla gets his police credentials.
Yeah, they're like the police of this world, sort of. Yeah.
And they go to a planet where sort of dead memories come alive underwater. Again, that's kind of set dressing for the final crux of Vanilla tricking Kaiba / Chronico into sending his and Hiyo's memories back to the very place they started.
That's probably, for me, I think the saddest moment in the series.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, even though Vanilla's been nothing but terrible up to that point, basically. Somehow he redeems himself enough for you to feel bad.
And, all the way through these, of course, Hiyo has been keeping Kaiba out of trouble, who's this weird, what would you describe it, a face with tentacles either end, which can twist those tentacles and make itself fly as if it was a helicopter.
At times it's like a little skull, because I'm sure at one point it looks like the jaw is separate to the top half of its head.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it can hold things in its mouth, as we learn later.
It can. It's very clever. And I would love a little one as a pet. Because it seemed very loyal. It's Bentu's memories in it.
I was going to say, there's a reason it's very loyal.
Yeah.
Because it's in love with Worf.
Why doesn't it try to, like, write him a message or something? You know, I'm not...
Because, well, I think it knows the situation. I think it's the... I think it's probably the character who's clearest on what's happened.
Mm.
It's true, yeah. Throughout the entire series, the only one, basically, that that has the most perspective on things.
Yeah. And then it kind of goes into the full plot as we discover, yeah, that woman was... who was in the body of the terrorist was Nero. They're back there. We discover that the... this is what they're called in the Siren release. The organisation that Popo is part of is the One Mind Society, who are led by a guy called Dada, who turns out to be three guys, who turns out to be three clones.
Who are old and look awful.
We discover that there's another warp, a fake warp, who's now sitting in the throne above them.
And does that now? Ah, I may have been, because I'm kind of lost. But you mentioned this is memories of him, the occurrences that are going on. Because you do see that fake warp kill them two in like a blender.
Which two?
Or was that later on? Nero and Kyber.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, no, doesn't kill them. That's when he drops them through the fans back down.
Yeah, but we can assume he survives because he's kind of invincible, but surely she died.
Well, I think she loses her memories, right?
Yeah, she loses her memory going through the clouds, which are between the rich area and the poor area.
Yeah, the clouds.
And that's how Kyber's lost his memory.
That's how he's lost his memory, yes. And he's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she... Basically, episode 10 gives us a flashback to everything before episode 1. And in theory, explains everything that's happened.
It does a good job of doing some of it.
Yeah. The show is so, like, non-linear that... And the story is very complicated and confusing. That together, those things make it really hard to keep track of. Sometimes I felt just like, are we in a flashback or is this back in the present day or what?
Yeah, it kind of plays. There's some events which are you see which turn out not to have taken place.
Yeah, it doesn't help. But yeah, episode 10 is like showing the development of their relationship, basically. It's a cute episode.
Yeah, so episode 8 and 9 is kind of Popo trying to convince the Nero, who's had her mind wiped, to kill Kyber Warp with this new weapon they've built from the spacecraft that the three clones of Warp have got.
Oh, is that how that's developed?
Yeah. Right, okay. And it turns out Cloak's got loads of... The guy we've previously known as Cloak has got loads of bodies of warps which have been discarded because apparently they're constantly trying to grow warps and get one which has the immortality.
Yeah.
And then they throw the others away. And there's this computer who seems to be the actual controlling thing. It's like, must have a warp on the throne at all times.
And then we see a new character. Or at least I don't remember seeing this character. You know, the person in the overcoat.
Yes, the sister of
the really tall one.
Yeah, the mind.
Yeah, and I was like, is this Kyber in a suit? Is this another Kyber body? I genuinely, when they showed up, I was like, I don't know who this person is. Should I?
Yeah. No. Gosh. And Popo goes through the ringer as well with the woman who was in love with him, gets her mind wiped.
Oh, yeah. Checky?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's pretty sad. That
yeah, it is.
I forget which episode that is. I think that's episode 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's happened before. It takes a while for him to realise.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's while Dada's still in control that she gets the mind wiped. And then...
But then when he thinks he's succeeded, he's like, oh, we've done it. And she's like,
I think that's 11.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't remember. She's
and 11's also when he drops his mother in the... engines and spacecraft.
He's holding her out over the edge, going, look at what all the great stuff we've got here.
So yeah, he's got his plan is obviously to take control. He's going to be the guy in charge. But the reasons for doing that have all dissolved by that point. And so he decides, oh, we'll just all be eaten by Kyber. We'll all become one. That's the next stage of evolution.
Which I think is a great, not so much a twist, but I think it's a great idea. Because there's some logic there that the next stage of evolution is to combine the memories.
You can get behind a hive mind, Anthony.
I can't. I just think there's a lot of... When he said that, I was like, oh.
Anthony's pro-singularity. He'll be the first one jumping into the Matrix.
Oh, gosh. But who's to say that once you're part of the Kyber, you just don't cease to exist anymore?
And they think they've tricked the fake Kyber, the fake warp, but it turns out the three Dadas were tricking Popo.
That is amazing.
And this is the point where everyone starts pulling those memory guns on each other.
Pew!
I think Sate kills Popo, and then Cloak kills Sate, then three warp.
They just freeze them, don't they? Because that's all.
Do they not shoot the memory out?
Yeah, but they seem to be okay by the end.
They are, because you see the little kind of orange gloop leak out a few of them.
Yes.
And then they're completely frozen. Orange gloop is fine in this series. If it's green gloop, oof.
And meanwhile, Nero and the real Kyber and Hio and the guy in the wheelchair are stuck below the cloud. But luckily, he promised his sister he wouldn't do it, but the guy in the wheelchair transfers his memory chip into a robot full of missiles. Literally full of missiles. It's like every orifice and orifices which don't exist can shoot.
I love when it's like opening up in different angles and like folds like a like a piece of paper and it's got more holes for missiles.
Like when he starts to realize maybe this wasn't a great idea. Maybe this is perhaps too many missiles.
Well, my favorite bit is when he's kind of he's out of ammo and he's out of limbs and he's just like the odd spaceship will appear behind him. He'll just turn around, shoot his wrist off, and he's left as a head. That is genius. Yeah. That's perfect use.
Recurring Masaki Yuasa thing. People becoming just heads with tiny legs.
Yes. And there's a sense here, I think, again, kind of like probably like Komodo Nozome, where it's like, oh, we've only got two episodes left. Better cram every idea I had. Into these last two episodes.
You also should release a memory chip for people who want to watch. That's what it all meant.
Because there's the revelation that the sister of the memory guy is like just a bunch of organs inside a suit.
How is that been surviving?
I don't know.
Has it been surviving? I don't know. they've been there all along.
She's fine after the fact.
Yeah.
Once the good wears off. She's pulled herself back together again. And then another Kyber shows up. So there's the fake one, fake warp, real warp, a baby warp shows up, a Godzilla collection of warps all united into one monster shows up.
It's a modern day tale of Pinocchio. That's what it all is.
And we kind of discover that the reason the world's gone to pot is because Warp has got these memories of his mother trying to poison him.
Because there were six brothers.
Yes.
Which just adds a whole new layer.
Battle of succession. Apparently, like, millennia ago at this point, I imagine. And so Nero, however her name is pronounced, has to go into his memories and find the good memories. And we discover that, yes, she did poison him, but she was just doing that to try and keep him out. Not enough to kill him, just to keep him out of this battle.
I thought they got the memories from the ostrich.
Yes, because the ostrich is the mother.
The ostrich is the
mother, which dies at the beginning-ish.
They go back
to collect them.
Yeah, because that's why the ostrich keeps on showing up to save. And here he has got the copied memories of Nero. And they all sort that out, and everyone lives happily ever after. Except
in what kind of world?
Yeah,
it's not clear how much is... has been retained after the giant plant explodes. Seems to destroy pretty much everything.
And does Hio end up getting with the wheelchair guy?
Yes. He was also in love with Nero.
Which is a lovely moment, the fact that she, you know, pretty much changed who she fell in love for.
Yeah.
For actually this...
because she's continued living She's got all the memories up to that point and then continued living.
They've kind of split off into after two that people. Point.
Yeah.
And obviously you can't actually delete memories. You can only sort of hide them. Or maybe only he could override them because Chronico seemed to be missing her memories.
Yeah, they could definitely... Well, so if you climb inside and steal something, I'm presuming it can be removed.
Be lost, right? That was part of what made her story pretty sad, is that she thought they were going to be saved and she could get them back, and then I think they're just gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what the most heartbreaking thing is. When Popo drops the memory chip of his mother.
Part is very sad.
That is disgustingly sad. I was like, you might be the bad guy, but...
His story ends up being pretty sad between his mom and Checky.
It's a bit weird, though, where he's like speaking to his mom as best as he can. He's like, I'm going to get you a body with big breasts. That's not what you should be saying.
Say that, yeah.
Maybe his mom was talking about that all the time. We don't know. Maybe a wish she wanted. Okay, right. Here are things which might indicate that this is all in his mind.
Uh-oh.
In Kaiba's mind, yes.
Okay, so, obviously there's a line about the moons being his memory, not actually moons. That's the first thing in the...
The what?
So, in the, I think, the finale...
Oh, those things that appear.
Yes, the moons of the planet aren't actually moons, they're his memory.
Mm.
But, okay, so... There's the vessel that his mother poisons him with.
Yes.
Is the same vessel that Nero is given.
To poison
him with.
Uh-huh.
Exactly the same
thing. Right, yeah.
The dog that Patch. Nero's got as a child.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. No, but it is that one.
That's it is thing. Patch.
Yes, that's the
Quilt.
Real thing.
No, it's Quilt. It's
Quilt. Quilt. On Patch episode 5. Then we get the flashback to Popo and Nero as kids. And Nero's got a toy dog, which is the same as Patch from episode 5.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm sure there must be other things like that as well in there. But those are the things which I noticed. I was like, okay. Okay. What's going on here?
Maybe it's a popular toy. Maybe it's like
But then when I saw the poison vessels looking exactly the same.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe that's a popular vessel to put poison in.
You think they'd click on.
But I suppose if he's it may be that everything's physically there, but his memories influence the physicality
his own,
of the universe.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Because he's...
We don't know the limits of his powers.
Well, yes, because we know that he knows all these people. Because he knows her name. When we see in the flashback, and those details about her life that he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So I think he memorizes everybody else's memories as well.
Because in the end, in the intro, you see like the bodies all transformed to someone else. Maybe he was everyone all along.
Yeah.
And there was no
blown it wide open.
What's the hole in his chest? What's?
Oh, good. I need to watch the third watch for that one, I think.
Yeah, I still don't remember.
It sounds impossible to achieve such a hole with a weapon.
Because it gets bigger, and then the little one just grows. The little Kaiba, little warp rather, just grows one at will in the last episode.
Yeah, the hole has some kind of significance.
Is it the fact his heart's missing because he doesn't have Nero in his life?
I don't
is
know.
It, like, that
the
symbolism?
Little one
know.
Does it as well, so.
Oh, he's just weird, the little one, though.
Yeah.
He's very strange. And what's the symbol? The triangular, circular point symbol?
He draws it on, doesn't he?
The fake one draws it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the immortal ones have got it naturally.
Mm.
And how many hundreds of years has this been occurring? Because, you know, when they find the palace, and it's got the... I guess, like, statues of his head.
Yeah.
How many hundreds of years has this span across?
I imagine forever. Forever, for, like, as much as anyone can remember.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Because, like, on the planet, on the Utopia planet, they got the statue that they know is warp, but they don't really know the details of who he is.
Yeah, a statue, I don't know, because at that point I was like, oh, is he this, like, hero?
No, but it's assumed
that he's...
It?
Exact, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, is he? Oh, oh. Madness.
But yeah, good show. Like I say, the thing which clicked for me was that the fact that when, this is something I've complained about in other shows, but I think it works well here, is when they swap bodies, they keep the voice of the character. And to that degree, even the fake warps have different voice actors. So the fake warp's got a different voice actor, the three Dardars have got a different voice actor, and the Chibi warp's got a third voice actor. So they're all fake. And I was like, oh yeah. And then that made me think of Bugs Bunny. It's like how Bugs Bunny, no matter who was animating him while Mel Blanc voiced him, it was Bugs Bunny because Mel Blanc was doing the Bugs Bunny voice.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he's gone, and you get all these other people in to do the voice,
that ain't Bugs.
It's not Bugs Bunny. It's not Bugs Bunny anymore.
It's true.
Even if you wrote the best Bugs Bunny script ever and animated him better than anybody else, it just wouldn't be Bugs Bunny.
No,
it's very true. Yeah.
Speaking of the voice, you get that weird bit in the first episode where they're trying to get the kid's brother. And they put the wrong memory chip in. It's a guy saying, I'm the brother. Or, not to that effect, but he's like, oh no, that's not the right guy. And they just whip out his memory chip. And it seems harsh, but kind
of. They're trying to argue whether to bring somebody back. And they go, well, wrong with him.
Yeah. What did they say? He never cleaned his room or something like that?
Harsh reason. I wouldn't be brought back if that was the case.
And there's like a limited amount of space they infer in that first episode, which doesn't come back at all.
that entire kind of colony doesn't get much else, really.
No, we see them all gassed at the end. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, when the clouds.
Yeah.
Hmm. So what happens at the end? What do they go on to do, do you think? Live happy.
Live happily ever after, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's all you're meant to think about it as.
Yeah, because they're all paired off.
It's like the Wayne's World ending.
Yeah. It's like a fairy tale.
That too.
And it's like a lot of things with big cities over rich people over the poor people. I started listing them off in the notes, and then I was looking them up, and then somebody pointed out The Burns by Aristophanes in 414 BC is like the first. City in the Sky is where the phrase Cloud Cuckoo Land comes from.
I've never heard that phrase before.
I was wondering where that came from.
It's about a guy who convinces birds to build a city between man and the gods. As you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Satire.
What a very deep show.
Yeah. It's, I feel one thing that sort of made it hard to keep track of is that the main character, I guess this is kind of deliberate, but he doesn't have the strongest or most distinctive sort of personality for you to really grab onto, you know? I mean, it's not really about that. It's more about ideas, I suppose. But that makes it hard to keep track of, wait, is this warp? This other than the voice, I guess. There's not a lot to...
There's no distinguishing feature to say, oh, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell how he would act in a situation, so it's hard to tell if what you're seeing is him. I actually didn't notice that he always kept the same voice, but that's probably a good indicator of whether it's him.
Yes, because he doesn't talk very often, that's the thing.
If
he's talking a lot, it's another warp.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think that's deliberate, again, just to make him this cipher, because the only time we really get a good view of him is in that episode 10.
Flashback.
Flashback.
And then the vengeful form of him right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where you kind of get a glimpse of what he might have been like before he fell in love.
Yeah, it seems like he was a pretty bad guy.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part. Yeah. He's for the protagonist of the show, he's turns out to actually have been a pretty bad person.
I don't think there's anyone really doing anything good, except the normal regular Joes that are living on the surface or living on a different planet. Every character doesn't have a good motive, really.
It's kind of true, yeah.
Popo's
got, I guess, good motives, but what he's doing is bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, we discovered that frequently he was rebelling against his leaders, which they just kept on wiping that bit of his memory out because he was useful.
Gosh. Well, so, it's all just a fake memory.
But yeah. Yep. Obviously,
I appreciate it more now that I've talked about it a little bit. Yeah, like, I liked it anyway, but it helps to sink your teeth in.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely get more out of it on a second viewing. But I'm not in a hurry to watch it a second time, because
no,
boy,
those early episodes
are emotionally a bit of a kicker.
And those are the ones that are easy to follow.
Yes. True.
And they're self-contained in many regards. Whew.
So, better than Ghost in the Shell in terms of personality, body disconnect, or do you prefer Ghost in the Shell still, Anthony?
Oh, I'm a big fan of Ghost in the Shell. Are we talking the original film, yes?
Yeah.
It's long. There's, you know, you can't just chill out and watch Kyber. Whereas you can whack Ghost in the Shell on and it flies over.
You are asked,
as I've learned a few times, it goes over really quick.
I found once it hit the plot after episode 7, once episode 8 to 12, I whipped through very quickly of Kyber. Mm.
Yeah, it does sort of pick up momentum once you start realizing that you're going to get answers for things.
Yeah.
Imagine it ran for a year. Imagine 52 episodes of Kyber, which maybe the last 6 is where the stuff starts happening, so each one is a different planet.
I'm pretty sure it would look very different.
There would be an episode where Kyber learns driving lessons.
Yes.
It would be awful, because he hasn't got much of a personality anyway, but it would be cancelled.
I don't know. Galaxy Express ran a long time.
It did.
They got a lot of mileage out of that concept. You just have to find various science fiction novels you can crib ideas from and turn them into a planet. Because that's the thing it does quite well early on, which Space Dandy did, of like saying, here is a planet, here is an idea this planet represents, let's explore that for half an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, Star Trek sort of did that to an extent too.
Yes.
I want to watch this with someone. I want to watch it. Like, it's fine watching it on your own, but I want to see what somebody else thinks as I'm watching it.
Found it helpful just to clarify. Just because after each episode, we could turn to each other and go, wait, did you see the same thing as I did? Or what do you think happened here?
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, Galaxy Express got 113 episodes.
Yeah. I was trying to watch through it. I watched maybe 15 and then I got distracted. That one has I like the movies of Galaxy Express. Those ones feel like they condense the overarching story.
Yeah, do you think this could be condensed to a
movie? I don't know. I think it could, but a lot of the richness of it comes from those sort of anthology episodes where they're visiting the different episodic story planets.
I feel it would work for people who couldn't get into the series. Because if you're watching the series, I enjoyed the series, so it would feel diluted, but if it was too much of a series to watch, then it would probably get more people to like it as a film. Easier to access. But what would you cut out? I don't know what I would cut out.
Yeah, you'd end up cutting out the cool action scenes, and there are.
Yeah. You could cut it, you could make it shorter and to fit into like a movie length, but all the best parts would have to go.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Unlike Erased, which I think will work great as a movie.
Oh, I'm still behind. Don't you...
That was my comment this week on Let's Go.
That couldn't make as a movie.
They've made it as a movie. It's coming out in a few weeks. They? Yeah, live-action movie.
Live-action?
17th of March in Japan.
Tell me it's going to be like a trilogy or something.
No, they could easily make it a single movie. There's so much you can cut out of that. That's a difference. Should we talk about that when you've caught up on next week? Yeah. Though by the time this episode comes out, it's probably finished.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to last week's episode that we recorded, you'll hear my controversial stance on Erased and how I'm only going to watch the start of an episode and the end of an episode for the last 3.
Ooh.
Because I can't take any more of it.
But I love Erased. I think it's great. But yeah, not quite as good as Ping Pong. It's probably better on the whole, but Ping Pong is just easier watching.
Well, next up, Anthony.
Yes.
The Tatami Galaxy.
Is that a bit of a head scratcher or?
Oh yes, it is. Yeah.
More so than this.
No, I think less than this.
Yeah, I think it was easier to follow.
Yes.
It's confusing, but not that complicated once you understand what's going on.
And they took it. Basically, the original story was simple, and they made it more complicated so they had enough episodes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the book, there's only 4 timelines.
Oh.
As opposed to however many.
No sense to me.
however many episodes there are in the actual TV series. You shall see. We'll do that in the next quarter.
Did you watch Ping Pong, Aaron?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, I actually, when it was airing, I wasn't as into it. I kept watching it, and then I rewatched it after it was done. I got the DVD, and I loved it. It's maybe after Kimono Zume, I think it's my favorite Yuasa series.
That's good.
I think I've still
Did you finish it, Brian?
I think I've still got the last episode to watch.
Well, you know the gist of it.
Yeah. Ping pong.
Yeah. He turns into a robot at the end and shoots ping pongs everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it reminded me of the Shin-Chan thing we just watched once the robot showed up and started being goofy. And there's...
happens in that, too.
Yeah.
He just becomes a head. Although I don't know if Yuasa was involved in that part of it.
No, we came up with that idea, but... I notice on Concrete Revolution Season 2 trailer, there's a robot where somebody takes their head off and sticks inside. I was like, oh, there's an episode being written by the guy who wrote that Shin-Chan movie. I wonder if that's his episode, because the robot looked kind of similar in terms of blockiness. Ronnie, anything else? Favourite characters, designs? If you had to cosplay a character, who would it be?
It's got to be Vanilla.
Hmm.
I thought Nero's design was pretty cool. How she had that diaper thing that turns into the big walking.
We finally know what Mickey Mouse's buttons did on his shorts. They were extra legs.
I guess I would.
I quite like the design of Kyber when he's
the
flashback episode. Well, the king was pretty good as well, but the design with the hood when he. They go to the meeting of the One Mind Society.
Like,
take your shirt off.
Oh, yes, yeah.
What? Okay.
That's good. I would probably do Chronico, or whatever she's called.
Cosplay as Chronico?
Just to have me bear backside out a little bit. Because her arse is always out.
It is.
I don't know. I like
you
all
like
the
a bit
designs.
Of builder's cleavage, do you, Anthony?
Builder's cleavage. I feel a bit sick.
I liked Patch a lot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Of course. Hmm. They're all great. They're all...
Cosplayers here.
That would be good. Little helicopter flying around. Or maybe I'd be that little bald baby. The glasses who sells.
Yeah, because he was the character I wanted to find out who did the voice of, and I just can't find it listed anywhere. I'm guessing they might have like had special guests. Because I noticed on the Japanese site, the person playing the little warp at the end is listed as like special guest voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I wonder if there was a bunch of stunt casting for the various one-shot characters.
Mm.
No game, because I was watching Hail Caesar when I should have been writing a game. So, Aaron,
what would it have been? Give us a summary of what it may have been about this
game.
It
was going to be about Kyber Corporation from Yu-Gi-Oh!
All right, yeah.
There you go, that's as far as I got.
Okay.
I could tell you I would have gotten 0 points.
I was struggling to come up with questions, so there you go. We were both in the same boat. Aaron, anything you want to plug?
Same as last time, I think Sublo and Tangy Mustard, my web series, which you can find on YouTube on my channel, which is AALong64. Regrettably, it's a stupid name. But you can't change YouTube channel names. But yeah, I'm doing a web series cartoon. You can probably find it.
You quite often can't get the name you want, even though it says it's available as well, I found out.
Oh.
You put in the name, you say, oh, it's available, set it up, oh, no, you can't have that. think that's why we've called, I think we've like called, I can't remember, I had to stick the in front of the things I set up.
The dynamite in the brain.
Something like that, ridiculous. Anthony.
Yes.
Are you playing role-playing games on the internet still?
Apparently so. I forget when we last put one out. But if you go to YouTube and search Adventure Bastards, you can watch it there. Or go to adventurebastards.com, or I think that still exists. The reason I said check, because I mentioned it to the parent, he was like, I didn't even know that was active. either way, I can't even spell correctly now. It's going to bug me until I check. Also, Twitter.
Yeah, it hasn't been updated since October.
Well, don't go there. Update. But yeah, just go to YouTube and search it, and it's on a channel called Locked Door Puzzle. And watch me.
See, Perrin got his channel name correct. Obviously, Greased the Right Palms, or got in early. When's this coming out? End of March? No, it's a little too early to start plugging Amicon panels.
KitaCon's been! I've been to KitaCon at this point.
How was KitaCon, Anthony?
I'll tell you what, it was really good. There was nobody that got silly drunk. There was no casualties. Not like last time. Now, I'm sure it'll be a great weekend. I hope.
Good, good. So yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @awesome_engine. And you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, iTunes, Stitcher, player.fm, and many other aggregation sites. Also, why not listen to our other podcast, Let's Go? If you think it's good now, wait till April comes. Then it will be...
Boom!
It'll explode. I don't know how we're going to find the time to watch all the shows we're going to podcast about. And if you haven't already, subscribe to one of those sites. Write us a review so that more people can find out about the treasured memory that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Right then.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.